You're listening to All Marine Radio, broadcasting from Costa Mesa, California, on the All Warrior Radio Network. Thursday, All Marine Radio busted it out. Yeah, Lynch and Kenny gonna be here today. I say that like they're like some kind of radio team, right? Lynch and Kenny gonna be here today. Straight up, there you go. Yeah, I won't even say it. You can draw your own conclusions. So they will be here today, and so that's always interesting. And I'll tell you what we're going to do is we will critique General Van Riper. Yeah! Whoa, Mac, that's a little presumptive of you and your boot ass. Yeah, it is. But that never stopped me before. So, yeah, that's what you'll hear in the second hour. Actually, we already recorded it. We did it last night. And it's long, too. It's not like an hour. So if you're hanging out at work, you'll be entertained for about an hour and 45 minutes. And what I did was I kind of cut up General Van Riper's interview. So all you hear is audio of him, his answers. And then I asked them, like, what do you think, boys? And so, they then respond to that. So welcome to the house that All Marine Radio built. Don't hit the brakes, don't hit the brakes. Welcome to my house. On a Thursday, more than halfway through May. It's raining this morning in Southern California. Yeah, what the hell? Hey, welcome to my house. Yeah, it is. So anyway, good morning to you. What else is going to happen today on this program? Let me think. I'm headed down to Camp Pendleton after we finish and going to go teach a class that I created in 1990-91 time frame. It's called The Decision, and it's about decision making. Yeah. So I love teaching it too. I do still after all these years. I invented the class. I invented it teaching lieutenants. Because we always, we always used to bitch at them about being decisive and, you know. And then I thought, they don't do it very well. What do we teach them about making a decision? Answer, nothing. We didn't teach them anything. We used to say, what now, lieutenant? Make a decision. As I kind of walked behind him, and here, I mean, they're smart. they're physically fit. They're 0% of the American population. Okay? That's what they are. They are 0% of the population. So, you're watching them walk behind them, and, you know, they come from, you know, the population. So, I mean, they're a fair mix and representative of the population. There are more athletic. So a lot of them, you know, have more sports background. And so you, when you see them struggle to make decisions, you like look at their lives and like, okay, you can do this in sports, but you can't do that here. You can't make a read in a dynamic situation. So it's like, well, we got to teach them something. What do we teach them? So that's what this class was about. And so I sat down and I created a class and started teaching it at the infantry officer course. We still teach it today, a version of it. And so it's decision making for junior leaders. At the time, though, we were going through in the Marine Corps, we were going through this big debate on maneuver warfare. And you had these people that, you know, would tell you shit. And I don't think they really knew what they were talking about. But I didn't know that. So I don't know that they don't know what they're talking about. So now you're like trying to teach this stuff. Well, how do we teach this? How do we teach to junior officers? How do we teach this, you know, maneuver warfare thing? Right? Everybody can't, you know, this constant use of initiative to exploit these fleeting opportunities on the battlefield. Okay, but I mean, people are like, there's real metal flying around out there, right? So, you know, you can't just do your own thing, you know? And so, is that the way they taught it? And I used to make this joke, like, okay, look, I know about the Germans. I watched Hogan's Heroes. And so they didn't seem like the most skip-and-go-naked people to me. I mean, it's a pretty tightly buttoned culture. So all of a sudden they get in the battlefield and all of a sudden everybody's doing their own thing. Initiative all over the place. How does that work? So anyway, tried to wrestle with that. And then I got led to a footnote. Yeah, I make the statement often on this program that the first part of my life, I didn't read a footnote. Then, sometime around 1990, I discovered that it's all about the footnotes. It's all about the footnotes. So, I'm reading, I don't even know what I'm reading, and I run across this, footnote that says, Albert Wiedemeyer had attended, a U.S. Army officer, had attended the German Kriegsacademy in the early 30s. And he had translated their troop leading manual. He'd brought it home and translated it because he sprechen sie Deutsch. So anyway, I went up to the Library of Congress and I found this thing and I made a copy of it and I brought it back to my friends. Now, there's actually a copy of it, of that copy, on the internet. Yeah. So, I'll post it with the show, too. Yeah, I think it should be on the website. It should certainly be on the read board. That's for sure, but I'll put it in this post, and I'll put it on the read board. And so, in reading it, I wanted to find out, like, so were the Germans that skip and go naked, right? I mean, could you just, like, you know, see something and use your initiative and they were okay with that? And the truth is, they weren't. Let me read you a few things. This is from 1933. So this is what they rolled into Czechoslovakia, Poland, France, right? Russia. And this is what they rolled out of those places with, too. right? And again, the National Socialism, the political peace aside, the performance of the Wehrmacht, the German army, okay, not the SS, the German army, if you're a professional, is worthy of your study. I mean, they were good at what they did. And they were innovative, and they embraced the art of leadership, which is interesting to hear them speak of it. So anyway, I find this stuff, I apologize, but I find this stuff really interesting. So this is what they say in paragraph 37 of the Truppenführung, 1933 version, translated by the United States Army. Paragraph 37, which is a series of 1, 2, 3, 4 paragraphs, okay? Maybe it's section 37. All right. The decision arises from the mission and the situation. Should the mission no longer suffice as the fundamental of conduct, or it is changed by events, I think that's just shitty translation. As the fundamental of conduct. I think you get the gist of it, right? If the mission no longer suffices as the, right, primary instrument in accomplishing the mission, or it is changed by events, the decision must take these considerations into account. He who changes the mission or does not execute the one given must report his actions at once and assumes all responsibility for the consequences. What? Right? He must always keep in mind the whole situation. I like the way this is written, by the way, even if it is a translation. So that little phrase there, or those two things are really important, right? One, the concept of coordinated initiative on the battlefield, where people shoot and people die. And if somebody, and so if we brief the plan this way, and all of a sudden you decide to change something, do the other people around you know that you're going to be not in this place, but in that place? And if you're not in this place, but in that place, right? And they're shooting real bullets, will that get you really dead? Possibly. So anyway, so interesting. But here's the phrase that has always, like, grabbed me, right? Must report his actions at once, all right, so got it, and assumes all responsibility for the consequences. What does that mean? Assumes all responsibility. So if you fritter away the combat power of the higher commander, we're going to have your ass for it. It better be, the juice better be worth the squeeze, because if it's not and you did that, it's going to be your ass. Now, that doesn't sound, that sounds like the Germans to me. It doesn't sound skip and go naked. Or, you know, it doesn't sound like, it's okay. You tried really hard and maybe the next time you'll get it right. Come on, we got to go to a memorial service. Half your company's dead. You know, it doesn't sound like that. It sounds like this is serious business. And we have a plan. And we're directing our combat power this direction. If you fritter it away and you're not right and you dissipate your higher commander's combat power, it's going to be your ass. That's what it's going to be. So make sure your ass and your brain are wired together when you start changing things. All right. Next paragraph. The decision must depict a clear objective aimed at with the whole force. They use this word will often in what they write. The strong will of the commander must support it. Hello? Oh, I don't know what happened, but I don't know if it's my headset. Oops, hold on. Hi. Sorry about that. I fell off the truck. No, all of a sudden I'm talking and I didn't plug the battery into my headset last night. So my boy, my Beats noise canceling headphones, the ones that when I'm flying and I put them on and I look out the window, I think I'm Aladdin flying through the air. No sound, I'm just flying. Yeah, those things. All of a sudden, I'm talking and I'm listening to my voice right in my headphones, and all of a sudden it goes blank. Like what? What happened? And what I think is like, are we off the air? Yeah. So anyhow, hold on. Let me get my place back. So they talk about will in German writing about leadership and decision making. This concept of will, the stronger will gains success. That it may not be the larger force. It is the person with the will and determination to bend somebody else. And how do you bend them? You bend them through your own, right? You bend them through your own mastery of what you do. Boom, yeah, your own mastery of what you do. Which we could tie discipline into that. But anyway. Let's see. Next paragraph. Without very good reasons, a decision once made should not be abandoned. So this is the art part that I love the way the Germans write this kind of stuff. However, in the vicissitudes of war, vicissitudes. What does that mean? However, in the vicissitudes of war, an inflexible maintenance of the original decision may lead to great mistakes. Timely recognition of the conditions and the time which call for a new decision is an attribute of the art of leadership. So they don't seek to give you a formula, right? They're using words like vicissitudes and art. And you don't see that much. Yeah, so it's very cool to read. And like some people can't do it. You don't do vicissitudes. You can keep track of time. You can grab it and you can stuff it through a small hole, right? Because it ain't going in there easily, but we're going to stuff it through. You're good at that. But the vicissitudes, yeah, you're not very good at vicissitudes. You don't even see them. I'm not sure you know about them. And the art part of it, not so much. You're good at the science part of it. You're good at the stuff it through part of it. And all that's important. Final paragraph. The commander must permit, this is also interesting, because it limits initiative. The commander must permit freedom of action to his subordinates insofar that this does not endanger the whole scheme. He must not surrender to them those decisions for which he alone is responsible. So, whether you want to go left of that village or right of that village doesn't really matter to me. Right? You have to make that decision. Right? I expect you to coordinate with me if you deviate from the plan. So the plan says you're going to go, we're moving in a certain direction along, say, three axes. Axi? Is axi the plural of axis? Anyway, we're moving along three axi. And you're supposed to go pass on the far side of the village. Okay? Now you get to it and you decide you're gonna move to the near side for whatever reason. You should communicate that. I should just say Roger and you should keep doing your business. But now all of a sudden you decide I'm gonna attack the village. That's gonna take several hours. And we're supposed to go attack something else. You don't have the right to make that decision. And I have to communicate that with you. All right. So I like the way the Germans phrase all that. So I'm going to go down to School of Infantry today. And I'm headed and just go talk decision making. And it's really cool because doing it with instructors. So they teach. So they'll get that. And And I'm gonna play a few audio cuts for you this morning. All right. There are things that I think are really funny. And I think there's three of them from General Zinni. The burning bush as it is. That's right. The man, the myth, the legend. Okay, so the United States Marine Corps Band is going to make this day official. Good morning to you. We'll check the news here in a few minutes, and then the Lynch and Kenny Hour reviewing General Van Riper. Yeah. So, good morning to you. Dedicated to the School of Infantry, headed down there today, fired up to do it, and always love talking to Marines and instructors about the art of instruction, the opportunity to change the way somebody looks at the world forever, the opportunity to inspire them and to have an impact on them for the rest of their lives, and also to grow yourself. So this is dedicated to going down there today, fired up about it.
You're betraying your whole life if you don't say what you think, and you don't say honestly and bluntly.
It defines us. It defines warriors like Gunnery Sergeant John Canley, a leader who led from the front. With his Marines outnumbered, he pushed forward during the Battle of Way City, standing tall during firefights and throwing himself into harm's way to keep his fellow Marines safe.
The only thing I was doing was just responding. The Marines, the young Marines, it shows them that it's not do as I say, it's do as I do. And just being that close with them brings motivation to them.
During firefights, when we'd be all hugging Mother Earth, he'd be standing up directing us. And I think if you talk to every Alpha Company Marine, we're amazed that he was never shot.
For this campus had prepared him well. I'm very confident that, thank you very much. If this was vodka, it'd be a lot better speech. But I'm not supposed to glamorize alcohol anymore, so young folks, you ignore what I just said.
What keeps you awake at night?
Nothing. I keep other people awake at night.
I had a Vietnam vet tell me one time, Jeremiah, he goes, PTSD, it's like having a cage in your brain, it's like having a cage full of monkeys. The goal is to keep the monkeys in the cage, because once the bastards make the jailbreak, all hell breaks loose, so you want to keep them in the cage.
Once you're out of the core, you know, it's your responsibility to live your life in a way that would honor those that were with you and died. I mean, don't waste your life. Goodness, do something meaningful and don't be going out there saying, look, oh, woe is me, I'm a poor veteran or I'm a disabled veteran. Well, yeah, I am a disabled veteran. But, you know, we can't have that kind of attitude. We've got to show people that, hey, we care about our country. We care about what happens to everyone. Brain Corps changed me. It made me a better man, but I don't know a Marine that wouldn't tell you the same thing, Mike.
We just have to execute. And we are executing every day, and Sergeant Major and I are very proud of what you do. Doesn't mean we can't get better. We don't want to make a mistake to learn. We don't want to lose to learn. We cannot lose if we have to go fight. We got to do what these Marines did here 75 years ago. Persevere against difficult, challenging conditions and odds and win. You got to win.
Time for us to check the news here in Marineland. Currently at the crossroads of the Marine Corps, Quantico, Virginia. It is mostly sunny and 70 right now. Camp Lejeune in North Carolina. Sunny and 77. Marine Corps Base 29 Palms. Mostly cloudy and 71. Marine Corps Base Camp Pendleton. It is cloudy, rain in the area, and 59. At the home of the 1st Marine Brigade, 1st Marine Brigade. At the home of 3rd Marine Regiment in Hawaii, it is cloudy in 76. Okinawa, cloudy early in the evening and 73. In the Al-Anbar province of Iraq, it is sunny and 97 late in the day. Just getting ready, folks. Early in the evening, it is cloudy and 85 degrees in the Helmand province of Afghanistan. At the home of All Marine Radio, the Costa Mesa Newport Beach area of Southern California, it is raining at 59 degrees. Yeah. No, I got to tell you, man, weather sucks in California these days. It has all year. Like, I don't know, like, what's going on. Global warming back. Yeah, okay, enough of that garbage. Okay, stop it. So, I'm looking for a high today of 66 degrees with rain. Tomorrow, sun and 68. And on Saturday, partly sunny and 70 degrees. That is a look at your marine weather. Not Marine as in water. Marine as in, yeah, Marine Corps. Marine Corps. You know, I don't know why this came to me last night. I'll share it to you before we go to the break. One of the most defining experiences for me, right, that taught me what the Marine Corps was, happened to me at Officer Candidate School. And I told the story about my platoon commander puking on a run the morning after the Marine Corps birthday ball, because he went out and got blasted the night before. And for those of you who've heard the story, forgive me, but I'll tell it again. But it completely changed the way I looked at. Like, I knew that the Marine Corps wasn't normal. Okay, I knew it was. It seemed to me that there was a lot of crazy people in the Marine Corps. But on this day, I want to say it was a Saturday morning, we went for a run. And we weren't real Marines, so we couldn't participate in the Marine Corps birthday ball. But we saw the officers, right, in our company put on their dress blues, right, ribbons and badges and shit. And we're like, whoa, check it out. And then, you know, they left work to go to the ball. So, and they brought their shit in because they wouldn't have time to go home or whatever. But it was pretty cool to see them in their dress blues. You know, we didn't get to, like, look at them or anything like that. But, you know, we checked it out the window and stuff like that. So, anyway, as they left. So, the next morning, you know, we're getting ready to go for this run. And at Officer Candidate School, I mean, you run. You don't do, like, the recon shuffle. You get after it. So, we go for this run. And I don't know how many miles we ran. Somewhere between 3 and 5. And we're coming back to Brownfield, where Officer Candidate School is. And back in the old days, when you stayed in squad bays in the old part of the Brownfield, we're running around the brick buildings. There's a road that kind of looped around it. So we're on that road, and we're doing about the last half mile. All of a sudden, my platoon commander, who is a captain by the name of Tom Rankin, he's a recon guy, prior enlisted guy, he's a tough guy. He stops, so we're in our platoon's in 3 columns. And I can't remember if I was in first squad or whatever, but I remember running by him. So I must have been on the left. So anyway, he, all of a sudden, he kind of peels out of the formation and he bends over it and he just pukes. He must have been drinking bourbon because it was brown. And I remember running by him going, oh shit, look at that. I mean, there was puke everywhere, right? On his arm, you know, and it was all over the ground. And you're like, woo, see you later. And we just keep running. And we keep running, and I want to say 30 seconds later, he comes running back to us. And he's got puke dripping off his chin. It's on his arm. And he's just snarling as he comes back. Where do you think you're going without me? Right? And I just remember thinking, like I never associated this kind of behavior before in my life. Right? When you even with corporal punishment, Kathleen, when you puked, right? I mean, you lay down on the couch, she got you some ginger ale and some soda crackers, she got a, you know, washcloth put on your forehead. I'm not really sure what the hell that did. Maybe it cooled you off, maybe it warmed you up, I don't know, but it made you feel better, right? Somebody's taking care of you. That's what you did, you know, you lay down and somebody go get you some ginger ale after that. You didn't come running back and keep running. And that, to me, is a moment in my life I will never forget. And I remember thinking, you know what? Everything I used to think was normal and that was acceptable doesn't really work in this profession. They run by a different standard, not the normal standards of the planet. And I don't know what made me think about that last night. It might have been the discussion with Tim Lynch and Jeff Kenney about, you know, you're a civilian and you go through this process about becoming a Marine, and it doesn't happen overnight. I mean, it takes years and years and years to happen. And But I think everybody who goes through it points to certain events in their lives when they're like, holy shit, yeah, I was a part of this, and this guy did this, and wow, I was like blown away. So yeah, Tom Rankin, puking, and then coming back and being pissed. But I mean, we're in a company formation, so it's not like the whole platoon could stop and wait for him. You know, that was not an option. So we just kept going. But again, seeing him, I just knew that, you know what, the normal rules of human behavior do not define this organization. This organization is relentless in its craziness. It never stops. The craziness, right? So, like, when they said, like, when they're playing fuck games with you because somebody's done something stupid, and they tell you, like, you don't have a mattress pad, right? What they called it was a fart sack. So, I mean, a fart sack is like a legitimate term in the Marine Corps. All right, grab your fart sack, and, you know, other people would listen to you. Humans would listen and go, what in God's name are they doing? So anyway, they would say, all right, and we had these closets, and they were underneath a stairwell, if I remember. There was a set of stairs that went, I lived on the first deck, and there was a squad bay above us, so there was a closet, and it was underneath the stairs. And so, but it was a big closet. It was a long closet. And so they said, everybody grab your fart sack, which means you had to annihilate your rack, which is the whole point of it. Take that, your mattress pad fart sack bag off your mattress and get in the closet. Everybody. Now there's like 40 guys. How do you get 40 guys in the closet? Well, everybody smashes in. Well, we still got 10 guys outside of the closet. We've got 30 guys in a closet. How do we get the other guy 10? Right? Well, you can do it, right? They have to lay horizontally on top of everybody else. And you pass them in, you know, and they're outside screaming at you, just get in. And now people are yelling, and all of a sudden, you know, you begin to figure it out, and they're screaming, and then they shut the door, and you're in this black closet. Right? You're in this black closet with, I don't know how many people in there, right? And your people are, like, getting squished, and, you know, and then somebody farts or something like that, and people start laughing, and then they hear you laughing, and the door flies open. Who's laughing in here? Right? And everybody gets quiet. And half everybody's trying not to laugh. Everybody else is scared. So it's that kind of stupidness. But what you learn is the normal rules of human behavior don't apply. Don't tell me you cannot do that. When I tell everybody to get in that closet, everybody gets in that closet. Do you understand? Yes, platoon sergeant, right? And that's how they remold you. That there is nothing that we cannot do. If we, nothing on this planet, there's no, and that's why I say, Marines driving a ship, yeah, we could have done that. We could do that. We'll have to bust out the manuals a little bit. Somebody who has a little bit of intelligence has to figure out the engine shit. We could do that though. Alright, anyway. I'll take a break, we'll check news. Lynch and Kinney, the law firm of Lynch and Kinney, will join us at the top of the hour. Don't touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio. Yeah, Tom Rankin, man. Never forget that thing. I should track him down. And get him. I wonder if he even remembers that. He probably doesn't even remember that. He's the one who threw the clipboard at me. And then I broke the position of attention when I got caught saying that our company commander was an asshole. Yeah, my platoon sergeant was standing right behind me. Yeah, McNamara. I need to get Timberlake on. He's my platoon sergeant. And now Major Jad jumped in the OCS class behind me. Now Major General Craig Timberlake, CQ Timberlake. So yeah, I got busted. So then I go into his office, and you know, he's trying to get work done. All of a sudden, I pound on the hatch. What do you want? The candidate was told to report to the platoon commander, sir. Get on the footprint. So I stand in front of his desk. or he said report or something, whatever he said. So he's behind his desk standing up, and he's looking for something in a bookshelf, in a bookcase. So he said, what'd you do? Right, because he knew I wasn't one of the normal criminals associated with my platoon, right? He knew that I wasn't one of his problem children. So now I'm in there getting yelled at. And I said, the candidate was cleaning his gun. And he stands up, he looks at me, and goes, you have a naval gun in my squad bag? Because it's a rifle, not a gun, right? Who told you you could have a naval gun in my squad bay? And I'm like, what? And then it's like dawns on me. And then he takes a clipboard, he has his hand, and he fires it at me like a frisbee. And as Timberlake comes wheeling in, I move my head so it doesn't hit me in the face. And then I get Timberlake, his mouth is like right next to my cheek. It's that scene. McNamara. McNamara. And, but I mean, that's how, you know, that's how they teach you. Yeah, but Tom Rankin puking. It was awesome. Yeah. I could hear even Corporal Punishment Kathleen would give you ginger ale. Yeah, she would, and crackers. Settle your stomach down. You don't come back snarling with puke dripping down his chin. Yeah, you know, like the food he'd eaten, prime rib, what, Marine Corps birthday dinner, mashed potatoes, prime rib, whatever else he ate, along with a whole bunch of bourbon or whiskey, whatever turned it all brown. Yeah, he was not in good shape, man. And, yeah, that all running down his chin and on his forearms and shit. Then, and bitching at us. Like, oh, this is not gonna work out. Right? And as a candidate, you have a sense of danger, right? This ain't gonna work out. This is not gonna work out well for us. More of this comedy show. I'm gonna put, you know what? I'm gonna do some funny stuff. When we come back, I'm gonna play you some funny stuff that General Zinni did. More of All Marine Radio coming up next.
America's injured and critically ill service members face incredible challenges every day of their lives. Since 2004, the Semper Fi Fund has helped thousands of service members and their families with both immediate and long-term needs. Join the Semper Fi Fund in supporting American heroes. They've given so much. Now it's our turn. Learn how your tax-deductible donation makes a real difference in their lives at SemperFiFund.org.
All you veterans, listen up. This is Bob Nielsen, former Marine and founder of 100 Entrepreneurs Project. Turner Construction is looking for veterans with real-world leadership experience to join their team of professionals.
Hold on, Nielsen. Are we talking about a job or a career?
Matt, Turner Construction is a great company with global opportunities for veteran leaders who are looking to start professional careers. I know. I returned to Turner after I got back from Vietnam and retired after 50 years. I had a great career traveling the world leading teams of Turner employees as we built incredible projects.
Are they looking for me to have construction experience, Bob?
Absolutely not. Turner's looking for leaders who have led under pressure. We want leadership. So if you're led in Iraq or Afghanistan or any other contingency, Turner Construction is actively looking for you.
So, a career with competitive pay, good benefits, and a company seeking veteran leaders. That's what we're talking about.
Bingo. We're on the right road when a grunt can understand it. Good job, Mac.
I appreciate that there, Nelson. How do I get the ball rolling? What do I do?
Just email your resume to jobs@allmarineradio.com, and I will personally contact you and we'll begin the process.
I love it. Turner Construction is looking for veteran leaders who are looking for careers to join their veteran-friendly team. Email Bob Nielsen at jobs@allmarineradio.com. Let's do it.
A message from DAV to all returning veterans. Thank you. Thank you for doing your duty. Thank you for doing our bidding. Thank you for laying it all on the line. Thank you for stepping up and not backing down. Thank you for putting your future on hold to put our enemies on notice. Thank you for putting your buddies' lives ahead of your own. Thank you for putting yourself in harm's way. Thank you for defending our freedom, for displaying your honor, for being a hero, even though you don't want to be called one. For all this and more, DAV thanks you. and we're here to help you. Expert DAV advisors will make sure you get the health, disability, and financial benefits you are promised and earned. If you're a veteran, visit DAV.org for free help. And again, thank you.
I'm good, but I have a story, and I don't know where to start.
I'm good, but I feel alone in a crowd.
I'm good, but the past keeps coming back.
When the service member or veteran in your life says,
I'm good.
Are you really listening?
I'm good, but I can't get out of bed.
I'm good, but I can't sleep.
I'm good, but I feel overwhelmed.
I'm good, but I don't feel safe.
I'm good, but I still have nightmares.
I'm good, but I don't need any help.
I'm good, but I don't feel anything anymore.
I'm good, but I can't live like this anymore.
I'm really not so good. But are you ready to listen?
Suicide prevention is everyone's responsibility. Listen to the veteran or service member in your life. If you are in crisis or know someone who is, call the Veterans Crisis Line and Military Crisis Line at 1-800-273-8255 and press 1 for free 24/7 confidential support.
Hi, I'm Colleen McNamara, and you're listening to My Dad on All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I wanna walk into a cold, bitter ocean, feel the sting of letting go of all hope and soak in the ache of this heartbreak. I wanna drive fast till I break down in nowhere, so I can finally cry these tears when I reach there. I'll scream, yeah, I'll let it all.
We're not going to hurt this morning. I'm actually in the mood to be funny. I can't find the picture of me in OCS, though. That pisses me off. Anywho. So I just looked for it on my computer. So I did a search for OCS. I found a painting, a print that I have. And I saw it in the PX years later. But one of the first times I ever failed publicly in the Marine Corps was we were just doing the obstacle course for practice. I couldn't get up the rope because I didn't know how to climb it. I was climbing it with my arms. And you climb the rope with your feet. So it was the first couple weeks of OCS. And I couldn't get up the last, 2 feet of the rope to touch where you're supposed to touch. And as they do, right, you would have thought I smashed Mother Teresa with a shovel in the face in the rotunda of the Capitol. Oh, my God. Yeah, no, but, it taught me about failure. Taught me about failure and how shitty it felt, right, not to be part of the big green ocean of everybody else who got up that rope that day. And I wasn't the only guy, you right? But I'll never forget. And then I saw this print years later in the PX in Quantico, and I bought it. Just as to remind, it's hanging in my house right now, to remind me always of what it is to fail. And to feel the sting and the ostracism of failure. And why you work your ass off. Anyway, I got to find my OCS pictures to include in this post. But I'm in the mood to be funny today. So, I want to play some audio I worked on last night. And now this is General Zinni. He's funny, man. I'm telling you. He does this comedy routine that's really, really, really funny. And so I think I'm going to play. Let me just set it up. This is the night this is the night of his PME, right? His Combat Concepts PME. And you just heard General Van Riper on, right? So General Van Riper, he looks like a serious guy. Now, Van Riper had been the chief of staff of the 3rd Marine Division when Zinni was the regimental commander for 9th Marines. So these guys know each other going way back, right? But I don't know that. I'm just sitting in the audience. And now listen to Zinni tell this story about a PME that he put together that has these great guys come to it. And then in the middle of it, like, he busts Van Riper's balls in the middle of God and everybody. And, you know, and we looked at Van Riper as the most uptight white dude on the planet because we didn't know him, right? We just knew, you know, what captains know about generals, which isn't a whole lot. So listen to this. It's pretty funny, right? He's a funny dude, all right? Straight up. This is him doing his comedy routine.
Oh. You're listening to All Marine Radio on the All Warrior Radio Network.
I try to bring in the guys like Phil Fight, John Ripley.
Now, he's talking about this PME he's put together. So he's talking Phil Fight, John Ripley, right? A Dong Ha Bridge guy, right? And so this is him, Colonel Zinni at the time, speaking at the basic school to a jam-packed audience.
General Van Riper, all the people that were out there, Mike Wiley, that did have combat experience. One of the best nights we had was on combat leadership. And that was the night when I had General Van Riper, I had Colonel Ripley, John Ripley, and I had Colonel Bill Fight. Highly decorated, great combat experience, very credible men, and I put them in front of the officers and was go for it, question and answer. An interesting thing happened. They asked these guys a question, and the three guys answered it in a different way. This blew their vacuum tubes, and they couldn't understand how three guys with a ship class full of Navy Cross, Silver Stars, all these things, great guys, senior officers, came to different conclusions on the same experiences. And they started asking me, which one do you agree with? I hate to say this, guys get in trouble. They call one the Prussian, who I won't name, one the politician, and one the surfer. And you can sort out who they are. Don't wax your board, General. You're out of here.
Don't wax your board. They called one the general, one the politician, and one the surfer. Oh my God! And man, Riper was great. He sat over there on the side of the room, and he's laughing his ass off. But that's the first one. The next one is, Zinni does this thing about an attack in the way we teach tactics, right? And this is when the first time I heard this when he was doing it, I swear to God, I almost wet my pants. I was laughing so hard. He teaches like going the process of becoming a civilian and learning how to conduct. How to fight, right? And he does this satire on it, and it's absolutely hilarious.
Somewhere shortly after we got out of here.
Now, he talks about him as a second lieutenant, which should have been 1965, something like that, right? He's down in Quantico. He's from Philadelphia. He's got money in his pocket. He's got uniforms. Life's good, man. And then we go into Vietnam, and there's, I think, some stuff going on in Santo Domingo. So that's kind of the backdrop of this story.
Out here, these little bastards decide to go into Vietnam with the Marine Brigade, and General Van Riper was down in Santo Domingo doing some shit. So we all got told, as these basic school instructors, well, these suckers are all going to die. We're at war now, you know? It became time to pay attention, and I figured, Vinny, I was going to be an infantry. There was no one-third, one-third yet, you know, because I was at the bottom of the pit, and I was going to be an infantry, and that's what they threatened me with, and they were going to fulfill that prophecy, and I was going to be an infantry. So now I decided it's time for me, if I'm smart, I walked up with myself in that third wing over top deck. You might go somewhere and actually get shy at me. It's a good idea if you figure some of this shit out. And I said, now I looked around at these guys and pictures on the wall. They're going to tell me what to do. Lo and behold, that week, I was going to be queen for a day. I was going to be the squad leader on BO3, whatever, squad on the golf course out here, you know? That beautiful...
So that's what we call it, squad on the golf course. There's this, you know, there's this cut in the middle of the Prince William Forest. There's this football field cut that, you know, has undulating terrain on it, right, that we use to teach a squad how to attack, right? And it's a live fire range, too, so that's what he's talking about. So B, you know, O3 means it's an infantry event, right? So the O3 MOS is the infantry community. So if it was a logistics event, it would be B04 because that's the logisticians. If it was a comm event, it would be BO6. See how we do that stuff? Smart. So anyway, he's talking about the squad on the golf course, live fire event, and he got to be the squad leader.
Rolling piece of cut grass and everything, range fire or whatever it is. And I said, pay attention because this is the way we're in. When I got out there with my little squad, they took me up to this area, had a little red sign. Yellow stenciling, red sign said, assembly area. Nice little grove of trees back there. And they explained to me the characteristics. This sucker is out of direct fire observation of the enemy, you know. This is where he's trying to get your shit together. This is the order. Get your ammo, all your shit. Make sure you keep busy. But the little guy in the skunk hat will kill you if you don't. And you get here to issue your order and prepare to go into the attack. I had read that you better conduct a reconnaissance. So I go up to the guy in his front captain. Excuse me. I'd like to go forward to the line of departure and conduct my reconnaissance. Hey, good, Zinni. Another check mark, 5 points for Zinni. And I crawl up to the line of departure. Nice little berm that they had cut there. Crawled up, peeked over. There, out there, were all the things I expected to see. Wrote my little notes, got back, issued my order. Little sign up there that said, LD. The big argument here in those days is whether that should be L-O-D or L-D. We were in the heavy shit. I wanted to calm that one. It was over my head. I came back to the...
Come on, that is so funny. The big argument back then was L-O-D, which stands for line of departure, or L-D, how it should be abbreviated. We were in the heady shit back then. But I didn't want to get involved in that because it was over my head. He's going to go on. He's a colonel. He's going to go on to be the U.S. He's going to be head of CENTCOM. He's going to be Bill Clinton's special envoy to the Middle East. I mean, this stuff, and he's so funny, right? He's so friggin' hilarious. Did I just say friggin'? I didn't even know my mouth could pronounce that word.
Assembly area, got my shit together, got my squad, moved up. Right behind the line of departure's little sign that said, attack position. I said, I don't have to occupy this, I know that. But it is the last covered and concealed position. Just in case somebody's got to take a dump before we kill them, I got them. I got across this thing before. Regardless of what Cole says, you always pick a wedge. They can't screw with you if you're in a wedge. You know? Because, you know, unknown, good all-around security, unknown enemy situation. I mean, who's going to argue with the wedge? You get into this echelon right shit, echelon left, too hard to control, nobody understands it. 1791 drill manual, I don't want to touch that at all. We go over the line of departure now, and we're in the open. And the little target's up on the hill, and as we're moving down, the demo pits go. Boom, boom, boom. Aha, incoming, you know. Move through incoming. We go charging through incoming. Then, tat-tat-tat-tat, you know, butter-butter-jam, butter-butter-jam. And the little signalators are out there attacking at you. Aha, incoming mixed with direct fire. Down. Boom. Now, team one, prepare to rush. Rush. Team two, prepare to rush. Rush. Team three, and we do this up to... the final coordination line. Another heady discussion. Final CL or SCL. Big discussion about all that. But, convenience. They told me that 75 to 150 meters from the objective, there would be a final coordination line. bigger than shit, it was there. Another firm on a golf course. And I got my guys up online, make sure everybody got a fresh magazine also. Now, we got this far by team rushes and crawling, but that ain't good enough for these guys. They know it's time to stand up. But it makes perfect sense to me. So we all stood up. My job was to keep them all online. And another heading discussion, pointy method or hip. I'm one of those guys that say, Mr. Type orders, free spirit, hip or pointy method, whatever you want. We assault over the hill, and then we pursue by fire, and the gunny comes up, we get our chow, it's all done, they evaluate it, it's great. I'm ready for Vietnam. First fight.
Come on, this stuff is so funny. I just hope you appreciate it like I do. Because if you were in the Marine Corps and you got taught this shit, oh my God, man. He kills it.
Fire fight in Vietnam, I was in the vegetation this thing.
He's got his hand over his face right now. He can't see shit.
And some bastard goes, bang! I can see one of my Marines here, one of my Marines there, nobody else. Where the hell's the lone pine tree, the assembly area, the little red sign, and ain't there? Five little pits. I kind of pissed about a couple other things, too. No one told me about 20-meter contour lines over there. We were doing 20 feet over here. But when I got back, I got to somebody in authority, some captain. And I said, what the hell is the story? So you don't understand, Lieutenant. At basic school, we just teach you the basics. You have to have a foundation. That was just the foundation. Those are the basics. You have to go through that first. And well, I don't mind that, but why do I have to do my graduate work in Vietnam? I mean, there should be something that kind of gets me into jungle fighting, you know? In the real way. 24 years later, I'm still looking for the final coordination line, the line of departure, the phases of the offense, and all that other shit. It ain't there.
He, that is so good. Oh, my God. My friends and I, this is, I don't know, we're kind of geeks, but we think that stuff's hilarious. Anyway, all right. I'm not even going to, maybe I will do. Let me just do news. Quick headlines, all right? Stars and Stripes. Marines move from Okinawa to Guam could begin as early as October of 2024, a report says. However, I would tell you this, if you've followed recent testimony on this issue, there's people that are pushing back on this move from Okinawa to Guam because of the distance that Guam is from the South China Sea. Why be forward deployed if you're not forward deployed? Second story in Stars and Stripes, NATO fighters scrambled to intercept Russian jets, blah, 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 blah. That's business as usual. One more story. U.S., Japan, and Australia begin training with French aircraft carrier in the Bay of Bengal. How about that? One more story. Coast Guard visits the Philippines for the first time in 7 years after training in the South China Sea. Now, the Coast Guard are the people that yoked up. Yeah, that's a Department of Justice thing. They're the ones that yoked up that North Korean trawler, right? Because we don't have authority. The military doesn't, right? One more headline. Trump reportedly frustrated by aides he believes are pushing him into a war with Iran. All right, next story. Let's see, Marine Corps Times. Allies hunker down in Iraq, drop out over tensions with Iran. What does that mean? The cryptic headline that makes you click on it. We might be talking about the Spanish dropping out. They had a ship that didn't want to play anymore. Germany and the Netherlands suspended military training. Oh, the Germans. What did they do, right? I didn't. Netherlands, actually, the Dutch, they fly, you know, aircraft. The Germans? Couldn't tell you what the Germans do, right? The Germans, the way the Germans get utilized, tend to get utilized by NATO is in a very peaceful place, go let the Germans sit out there and they can go make their combat pay. That's how the Germans get used, right? Germany is not about participating at all, right? Their participation is symbolic at best. Don't put their soldiers, right, in positions to be harmed. Right, because they're clearly not up to the task, and this is not, that's not a criticism about German soldiers, because I'm sure they're trying as hard as they can. Right, Germany needs to get serious about the defense of Western Europe. Anyway, Germany and the Netherlands suspended military training operations in Iraq due to increasing tensions in the region. A Spanish frigate was recalled from its voyage with the U.S. Navy carrier Strike Group, and a British general was sharply rebuked by U.S. Central Command after telling reporters that Iranian-backed militias in Iraq and Syria did not pose an increased risk to U.S. and coalition allies fighting the Islamic State. National Security Advisor John Bolton and other administration leaders have repeatedly warned that intelligence shows there is an increased threat from Iran or its proxy groups, which could attack the U.S. or its allies, though they have withheld the details of the intelligence. European allies voice concerned. So anyway, so that dance goes on. You've seen that. And the top five stories in Early Bird. One, for Shanahan, looks like a rocky road for the defense secretary to be confirmed as from acting to legit. Number two, Secretary Wilson, Heather Wilson, Air Force Secretary, resigning. Mattis's departure made it easy for her to resign. So she talked about her unique relationship with the former Secretary of Defense. She said he's an extremely unique man, wonderful to work for, and had been a mentor to her for a long time. And his departure made her departure much easier. Three, Marine Corps punishes drill instructors and officers after hazing incidents. We'll talk about that in a second. Number four, administration wants to, as in the Trump administration, wants to reimburse the Taliban's travel expenses. Yeah, well, look, after you reimburse me for my travel, you can reimburse them. I'm still working on mine, man. It's not easy. It's not easy to get money out of the DOD. Defense firm's excess profits landed in Congress's crosshairs. Okay, I want to talk about that. Just real quick, Washington Post story written by Dan Lamont. The Marine Corps punished at least eight drill instructors and some officers in response to allegation of hazing and other abuses last year at the service's recruit training center at Parris Island. According to Marine Corps officials and documents obtained by the Washington Post, investigators found numerous incidents in which recruits had been abused by Marines training them, despite efforts by Marine Corps leaders to stamp out the problem following the death of a 20-year-old recruit, Private Raheel Siddiqui, in 2016. A Marine spokesman, Captain Brian McDonald, said in a statement that the drill instructors received appropriate administrative actions of varying degrees relative to substantiated allegations, indicating commanders determined criminal charges were not necessary. Several officers overseeing the drill instructors were also received some form of administrative punishment. The cases, which have not been previously disclosed to the public, occurred in the 4th Recruit Training Battalion, a unit which female drill instructors trained female recruits. Investigations were opened as the service began considering more fully integrating male and female recruits during training, as other services do. Documents detailing the investigations were released via a Freedom of Information Act. Investigators examined numerous allegations against drill instructors in the battalion's Papa Company, including one case in which a recruit's tooth was chipped in 2018. Okay, if that's the shit we're talking about, somebody's tooth got chipped, then what are we really talking about? I knew I was in the wrong for overstepping when I shouldn't have, but I wasn't used to anyone messing with the weapon, the recruit wrote. In a handwritten statement, the recruit recalled that she tried to tell other recruits to slow down while they were moving in formation, upsetting the senior drill instructor. The recruit could not recall whether the Marine pushed her arm or the weapon itself. And then her tooth got chipped. Oh my God, that's hazing now? The senior drill instructor later found the recruit on a bathroom bench at night, writing to a former Reserve Officer Training Corps instructor, a sergeant major, about the incident. The recruit told an investigating officer that the instructor confiscated several letters and asked other recruits the next day whether they would say she had abused them. The drill instructor said she eventually told others in control about the incident, and the recruit was transferred to a different platoon. The drill instructor was informed she could be charged with failure to obey an order or regulation, according to a military document, which do not clarify what commanders chose to do. In August, another fourth recruit training battalion slammed a recruit's hand with a footlocker, according to the doctor. One recruit interviewed in the case reported she and three other Marines were forced to go through a chamber that inches recruits to CS gas twice within minutes during training instead of once, as typically required. The recruit wrote in a witness statement that drill instructor said, "Enlisted, look out for enlisted," something she construed to be a message to keep quiet. Oh, my God. In a separate incident, this is national news now. This kind of bullshit is national news, and this is under the guise of hazing. In a separate investigation, 13 people reported a senior drill instructor in the battalion for acting inappropriately, the document said. A case was opened after a recruit told an officer in May of 2018 that she was ordered to put feces-soiled underwear on her head, and a second recruit backed up the allegation. That's kind of stupid. That's kind of stupid. Now let me tell you, that's stupid. And it makes good reading, but national news, come on. Slow news day. In a statement, this is how sensitive the planet is to what goes on at recruit training. Seriously. I mean, look at the bullshit that breaks squelch. This is the stuff we're dealing with. Somebody got their hand slammed in a footlocker. Somebody got their tooth chipped. In a statement to an investigating officer, the senior drill instructor involved said the incident occurred after a recruit left underwear under her bed. She asked the recruit if she understood that doing so was a problem and then suggested she would understand better if she put them on her head. The drill instructor recalled, according to the documents, quote, "I was speaking hypothetically and failed to handle the situation with a clear mind through frustration," the drill instructor wrote. "I was not trying to embarrass a recruit and more so wanted her to understand why and how it wasn't acceptable. The underwear didn't have feces." Thank you. See? There's an explanation for everything. I know, when you read feces underwear, you're like, whoa, what the hell? What does that mean? Does that mean like a minor skid mark or like a full load? So what does that mean? But like, you read it, like, oh, shit. Yeah. The documents do not make clear what the investigation found or whether the drill instructor was disciplined. This is like comedy shit, man. I need the rim shot. Where's the rim shot? The underwear. This is like stupid, right? This is like stupid stuff. It's like little kid stuff. Another investigation launched in February of 2018 after several recruits reported anonymously that they had been roughed up. And one said a drill instructor had threatened to break her neck. That's it. You're not supposed to do that. The senior officer in charge of Parris Island, one of my lieutenants, Brigadier General James Glenn, said in an email to the Post that the investigation helped the service determine what is necessary to maintain, quote, effectiveness and discipline during recruit training. He defended the behavior of the majority of the Marines under his command, quote, "There's a more intriguing story to more than 600 Marines who are drill instructors here and their families and their personal and professional investment in transforming young women and men into Marines, Glenn wrote. The 100-plus hours a week they dedicated to their role and the support of their families is the source of transformative energy that makes this remarkable process possible. The fact that 98% of them do so without any allegation is the storyline I commend to you. Come on, Glenn, do you think they're going to write that? It's amazing that even made it in the article. But Lamont's a good dude. He's a good dude. The Post obtained documents outlining more than 20 other substantiated hazing and abuse cases at Parris Island and the service's West Coast Recruit Training Center in San Diego that spanned the past 7 years. So 20 divided by 7 is 3 a year? In the most serious, former Gunnery Sergeant Joseph Felix was convicted of maltreatment, sentenced to 10 years of imprisonment for subjecting Muslim recruits, plural, note that in the story, including Siddiqui, to verbal and physical abuse. Siddiqui fell to his death over a railing after running away from Felix, who slapped him in the face. Interesting. Siddiqui fell to his death, right? The witness statement said he jumped to his death, but Dan writes his own story. Authorities determined the case was a suicide. Siddiqui's family disputed that. So, I mean, that's kind of insanity that goes along with recruit training. Right? So, here's the more truthful story. The Marine Corps administratively handled and declined to prosecute via court-martial drill instructors and officers after minor hazing events. But who the hell is going to read that, right? Nobody. Yeah, nobody. Nobody's going to read that crap. But that would be a more truthful headline. But we know headline writers, come on, they're just this side of used car salespeople in terms of their integrity. All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, the Kenny Lynch event begins. So whatever you do, do not touch that dial. More of All Marine Radio. Oops. More of All Marine Radio coming up next on your home for it, the All Warrior Radio Network.